The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a Thursday night thriller to kick off week two. Mr. Mahomes versus Justin Herbert. We'll tell you who wins it and why. Then, Aaron. He once said R-E-L-A-X. Does he now need to change that to S-O-S in Green Bay? Can he bring the pack back? Plus, speaking of needing help, have you seen the Bucs injury list? Holy smoke. Does Tampa Tom have any chance in a critical early showdown in New Orleans? Those are the questions as we kick off week two on Get Up starting right now. The squad is in place. I got Ninko rushing the passer from one side. I got Bart coming on us some sneaky blitz from the other. D Woods trying to pick them both up at one time. He needs help. So Diana Russini is here to chip. We got her ready to go. She's got all the insight as we kick off week two starting right now. Great games, big matchups. Let's dive into it. D Wood, Bucks and Saints. Critical matchup in New Orleans. What are you watching for?
I'm watching for that Saints defense, particularly that pass rush. This is a Saints defense. They're not scared of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Matter of fact, they've had since Tom has been in Tampa, They've had his number in the regular season. So I want to see if those guys can get after Tom Brady in this game.
Bart, Sunday night, we got Bears, Packers. What are you watching in that game at Lambeau Field?
I tell you what, it's the oldest rivalry in football. You talk about, you know, two historic franchises. I want to see if the Green Bay Packers defense has fixed how to play cover three. Talk about being exploited. It wasn't about, you know, so much Justin Jefferson and his great, you know, play. It was about schematics. So let's see if they've, you know, shored it up and can his receivers run the right route.
Yes, can they catch a football? We'll talk about them in a minute. Meanwhile, Ninko, how about tonight? Chargers, Chiefs in that jam-packed AFC West. What are you watching?
I want to look at this Chiefs defense, and they're going to be tested against the Chargers. They have a terrific quarterback. So they went young. They go first-round pick with George Karloftis from Purdue University. Spoiler up, you know what I'm talking about? But again, I want to see this defense in a true test against a great offense. We're going to find out tonight. I can't wait.
Well, look, you can't ask for a better start to week two than we're getting here. We know this division is going to be loaded all year long. Feels like every single weekend we will have one huge game, and tonight it starts. Diana, I want to get from you first and foremost. We see Patrick Mahomes show up with a sore wrist. Is he fine for tonight, and what do you have your eye on in this matchup?
All right, let's just start with Patrick Mahomes' wrist. The x-rays came back clean, so obviously that is fantastic news in terms of how he's feeling. It is sore. He's getting treatment on it, but I spoke with a source yesterday afternoon about it. They're not too concerned. Patrick isn't going to be able to work through that. As for what I'm looking for tonight, right, so you look at this Chargers defense. You bring in a guy like Khalil Mack for these kind of games, Greeny, right? They are going to try to do everything they can to free up Bosa and Mack to try to pass the rush, to try to rush the quarterback and try to get at Patrick Mahomes. You're going to see a lot of split safety zone tonight, but this is why the Chargers did what they did in the offseason.
Yeah, so let's focus in on that matchup for a minute. Because you got two of the biggest stars in the NFL that'll be staring at each other when this game starts. Patrick Mahomes threw 5 touchdowns last week. Khalil Mack had 3 sacks in his debut as a Charger last week. What are you watching in that matchup rushing the passer?
I just want to see, how do they take care of Mack? Because you have Mack, you got Bosa. You can't chip both of them at the same time. So they're going to have to put effort and make sure that, where's the back at? Are we having our tight ends stay in a little bit? Because you can have the tight ends help a little bit. But then also, you go out, you get Kyle Van Noy from the Patriots. He was available. So now you have multiple pieces that can move around. And you're not just going to keep Mack in one spot. You're not going to put Bosa in one spot so they know exactly where they're going to be. They're going to move them around. That would be the smart thing to do. Yeah. So we'll see what they do tonight. But 3 sacks, week one, it's a good start.
It's an interesting matchup to me, Bart, because we saw what Mahomes did last week. And all of a sudden, everyone is saying, oh, this Kansas City offense is even better. maybe, or maybe it's the defense they played last week. This is a totally different test, right?
Yeah, that was homecoming. Let's just be honest. Like, we understand that was homecoming going against the Arizona Cardinals. But this is where you miss a guy like Tyreek Hill, because now you have a shutdown corner in J.C. Jackson. You're saying, well, who am I going to put him on? So if he goes to their second best receiver, you know that he can shut him down. So that allows you to put more guys in the coverage and allow you to play more complex coverages against Travis Kelce. You can bracket him from an outside player. You can chip him at the line of scrimmage, because it's no threat that somebody's going to get beat immediately. So now if you're able to put a guy like J.C. Jackson in bracket, then now that means Mahomes has to hold on to the ball a little longer. That's where that pass rush can get there. You can add extra guys because you fear nobody over there. You don't think that Travis Kelce's not going to run by you. He's not that type of vertical threat. So now that allows you to make sure that you can take away their number one guy and start blitzing guys and give Mahomes different looks to look at the entire game.
So, D-Wood, you and I were sitting back talking this morning. You were having, I must say, I was very impressed, a protein smoothie and a little egg whites.
Yeah.
A very healthy breakfast for the big fella.
What the hell are you doing, dude?
I don't know that guy.
Hey, man, you know, I'm trying to be right. I'm trying to get right, man.
Okay.
You know?
And we were talking about
skinny jeans.
You know, when the Chargers, what this game means to them tonight, because the Chiefs are the champs, and you want to go into their house, and you want to knock, you want to take the ring, the belt from the champion, you got to knock them out in their building. It's a big statement game tonight for the Chargers.
You just said it, Greeny. It's a statement game. Think about it. You're on the road, short week, Thursday night football. You already got a division win last week against the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, if you can go into Kansas City and get a win against the Chiefs, the team that's perennially been the best team in that division, you're talking about making a statement, not only just in the AFC West, but in the all across the National Football League. Mm-hmm. Get two big-time wins. That would be huge for this Chargers team.
Well, a lot of people, Diana, love the Chargers coming into this season, and tonight is their chance to prove it. Yes, they got a great win at home against the Raiders. Division wins this year in that division are as critical as they've ever been maybe in NFL history. But this is the one that will have the entire league talking about them tomorrow if they win.
That is for sure. And to win and beat the Kansas City Chiefs without their top receiver, I mean, that's an even better story, right? And look, you got to figure, the Kansas City Chiefs are going to make this Chargers team run the ball, because they struggled with that last week. And in terms of the receiving core, I did have a conversation with someone with the Chargers over the week just about how do you make up for that Keenan Allen production? And obviously Mike Williams steps up in there. And they do like their weapons. They do. So this isn't a situation where they're panicking. But let's just face the reality here. When you don't have your top receiver, the guy that the offense runs through, you're immediately at a disadvantage. So this would be
that.
A gigantic victory for this Chargers team if they're able to beat the Chiefs without Keenan Allen.
Absolutely. And they threw to Gerald Everett a lot last week. And I say that because I had Mike Williams on my fantasy team. They didn't throw him the ball at all. So they need to do something a little different tonight. Meanwhile, we talked briefly about the Packers defense earlier. But it is the offense that had everyone in the NFL talking, particularly after that, the drop heard around the world on the first play by Christian Watson. Yesterday, Aaron Rodgers was asked if he needs to make any adjustments to his game. Here's what he said.
I got to play on time, and guys got to get open. So, no, I'm not going to change the way I play. We just have to realize who's out there, who we're throwing to, and how we're going to actually make some hay and score some points.
All right, so that's what Rodgers is saying. And we saw some of the body language. We see whatever it is. We saw my Mac. I've been waiting all week to ask you this question, Bartholomew. They're going to be fine? The offense. Forget the defense. Is that offense with Rodgers, they're going to get Lazard back, they're going to get their tackles back. Are they going to be just fine and be a contender like they've been the last few years?
I mean, I think they're going to be fine, but I don't think they're going to win the division. I think, you know.
They're not going to win the division.
I don't think so. I think we underestimate what Minnesota did, how they looked, you know, defensively bringing in Za'Darius Smith, you know, what they were able to add to a solid defense. You know, I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have to change the way he plays. He has to change the way he leads. And, like, sometimes, like, these quarterbacks, they get away with not having to be responsible for leading people. Like, you have a young group, and we've been a part of young groups. Bill Callahan would have took you guys out and had you work with the young guys. You have to have that continuity. You have to have that chemistry together. You only get that by putting the work in. It's ironic that, you know, every team, you know, with 3-8 that decided not to play their starter in the preseason. And what happens is, you know, now you don't have that room for error to say R-E-L-A-X, relax.
Right.
Because you don't have the time, because now Minnesota has closed the gap.
So which is it? Is it R-E-L-A-X Or is it SOS
I'm spelled the wrong
in
by
Green
way.
Bay right now?
You had to think about it for a second.
I'm nervous as hell. I'm nervous as hell, Grady.
Yeah, you did just fine. Which word are we spelling right now in Green Bay?
Green, I told you in the meeting this morning, I think the Vikings going to win the division. I think it's too early to hit the, you know, DEFCON button as far as the Green Bay Packers offense.
Yeah.
But the fact that Aaron Rodgers wasn't there in the offseason, when championships are made in the offseason, you knew Devontae Adams wasn't coming back. This happened in March.
Yeah.
Okay? You had a draft. You got young guys. You're off in South America doing your thing.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? All those valuable reps and everything that go on during the offseason, and you don't play in the preseason, they catch up to you now. And every game is valuable. You can't waste games in the National Football League. Minnesota goes out, wins week one against the Green Bay Packers. Those games matter.
Tom Brady has veteran receivers. He thought it was important for him to come back for the last preseason game to get in the rhythm. And they came out and they looked like they were in rhythm. Tom Brady got kicked out of a park because he was working with guys that were veterans in the league. Now, we expect Watson, who's a second-round draft pick, not first like Jamar Chase, to come in and give you that type of productivity. It doesn't happen like that.
Right, no, look, the kid's got to catch the ball. I understand that part of it. It's not Rodgers' fault. He handed him the football so well. Diana, why do you look like you are in disbelief at the tone of the conversation here?
Just STOP. You got a bunch of former players sitting on that desk going, oh, he should have been there.
We wouldn't know.
Most, usually you guys are out there going, it's Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't need to be part of the preseason. He doesn't need to be active with all his receivers. He's the best quarterback in football. But it's just funny how after just one performance, we're immediately going, well, maybe if Aaron was there, the offensive line would have been more in sync. They would have protected him better. Maybe those young receivers could have used the reps. Here's the sense I get from around the league, Mike. Just having some conversations, coaches, players, since Sunday, nobody is concerned that Aaron Rodgers is not going to be able to figure this out. Will they be perfect by the end of September? No. But let's have this conversation come early November, and I bet you were singing a different tune.
Get her, niece.
You know who Chuck Nolan is?
That's Chuck Nolan.
Not Chuck Nolan. Castaway. Tom Hanks in Castaway. Okay, you know, he's on the beach and he's got the wood and he's doing the SOS. He's got the whole thing. He's doing the spiel. That's where the Packers are right now. SOS, because when you're quarterback, Aaron Rodgers is saying, guys got to get open. He's taking unnecessary. He's getting, if you watch that game, he got shellacked. What did he have? He had four sacks.
Four sacks.
And then on top of that, he got hit on every play. Yeah. He's trying to wait for guys to get open. And when you wait for guys to get open, it doesn't matter if your starting tackles come back from injury. It doesn't matter if your offensive line is the best in the NFL. If you're waiting for guys to get open, guess what? On the other side of the ball, the pass rushers, they're salivating because they're getting after you and they're sacking you, they're hitting you. So again,
it'll
SOS.
Instead of him yelling, Wilson, he's yelling, Adams, right?
That's exactly right. D-Wood, you looked, I liked, when you sit back and you start sipping the tea, I like it. What's going through your head?
Well, you know, like we all sitting here basically giving you the deal. Then Diana, she wants to be the contrarian, you know, and take the Packers, angle, whatever. It's just like, and it's just like, are we watching the same thing here? Like Aaron Rodgers was getting shellacked out there. Receivers couldn't get open.
It's not about Aaron Rodgers. And now you're saying Aaron Rodgers needs to be there. You guys are nuts.
It's not about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is only as good as the parts around him. And because those parts around him isn't good, he has to put in the extra work. He has to get there and start throwing with these guys. He has to coach them up to position. Hey, this is where I need you at. You only get that by reps. You only get good at football by playing football.
Look, the proof is going to be in the pudding. We're going to start finding it out. They play the Bears this weekend. We'll see what happens. But this was a big argument yesterday. And Dominique was on the side that Diana was on, and some of the other guys were on the side you guys are on. And we'll see. If they get things right by the end of September, then we'll forget about all this. But that was a very, very bad start. To me, it felt a little bit like an SOS. In the meantime, speaking of quarterbacks who need help, oh my goodness, Brady's battered Bucks. Have you seen their injury report? Is Tampa in big trouble heading into Sunday's showdown with the Saints? Plus, Lamar says he's done talking, but he had a lot to say with Diana on Sunday. Is it possible this story is by no means over for this season? You'll find out what I mean next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by Geico. Switch today and see all the ways that you could save. Hey, before we go on, did you guys see Kyle Kuzma walking the runway at New York Fashion Week for Puma this week? Take a look. What do we think of that?
Looks like the sweater he had on a couple years ago, the pink one, where I couldn't even see if he was a person or not.
Well, he's a person. D. Wood, could you pull that off?
Hell no. It looks like you want to pull that off.
Yeah, he out there looking like that.
What's going on here?
like the packing things you put in the box at the bottom.
You know, you're like looking that. Like the opera singer from The Fifth Element.
Great movie.
Great in movie, the room. By the way.
Underrated.
Let's play Right or Wrong. Damian Woody, Josh Allen has taken too many hits. Is that right or wrong?
That's right. It's right. I love Josh Allen's game. I love it. I love the way he plays ball, but, you know, when you're thinking about the bigger picture with the Buffalo Bills, man, you can't subject yourself to some of these hits that he's taking. I know he likes to run the ball and you know, do things on critical down and distances, but, man, he just takes way too many hits for me to feel comfortable about the Buffalo Bills long term.
We're going to talk more about him a little later in the show. Meanwhile, Ninko, the Vikings are going to win the NFC North, right or wrong?
Right. We just talked about SOS and Castaway for the Green Bay Packers. So you look at the Vikings and what they're able to do week one. They look good. Their defense looks good. Their offense is moving the football. They got a heck of a receiving core. So, of course, yes, they're in a great spot, and I do think that they win the division.
And they banked a win against their primary rival. Bart, Tom Brady has lost the last 4 regular season games against New Orleans. He's going to lose to them again on Sunday, right or wrong?
Absolutely, Green. You know, for my MVP predictions to be correct, they have to win this game. And Jameis Winston and Michael Thomas got off to a slow start. But, did Jarvis Landry carry the slack? Listen, sometimes you just have a team's number. Just like Roy Jones couldn't beat Antonio Tarver, neither can Tom Brady beat Jameis Winston, who's always talking about the pliability of the elbows, it's the knee pad and the elbow pad. Jameis Winston is going, you know, to collect names and be comeback player of the year.
All right, so he likes the Saints a lot. And here's further fuel. The Bucs may very well lose again because look at their injury report. Oh. It's like a Pro Bowl roster. Brady is on there with just a rest designation, but 5 wideouts are on the list. 3 of them didn't practice. Both starting tackles. All right, Diana, the injury report in Tampa, that first came out. Yeah, I saw Shefty tweeted that yesterday. Makes one a little bit nervous. What can you tell us?
Yeah, it does. It that came from Wednesday, though. So that's the good news, right? We still got a few days left. But the Chris Godwin one is the one that really, that one stands out just because he just got back. And now he's dealing with this hamstring injury. And we'll see if the Bucs are willing to take that risk and roll the die and throw him back out there. But, you know, I know they were really happy with his rehab and how he returned off that ACL. But obviously, a hamstring injury this early in the season could be something that could be nagging all year long. So the Julio Jones one, I mean, we talked about this in the offseason. Julio's going to be on this injury report every week. I can guarantee that. And it's just going to be, we're just going to see what happens on Sundays if he's going to be willing to go. This is the risk you take. He's an incredible player, but he comes with injury. So that's on the Bucs side of it, Mike.
Yeah.
The Saints side of it, you've got Jameis Winston. Remember, he went in the tent, in the blue tent on Sunday, dealing with some back injury, and he was really sore, so he was very limited on Wednesday. I was told he's expected to go on Sunday against the Bucs, but obviously he's coming off a gigantic injury as well, so that soreness for a lot of players was really felt this past week.
All right, so it was a critical matchup. We got both teams coming in a little banged up, and the Saints have their number. We've talked about it repeatedly. The one game Tampa won in there, though, was the important one because it was the playoff game. Nick, Saints going to continue to dominate this matchup?
It's in the dome, too.
Yes.
That's going to be tough. But I just think that Tampa and some of the question marks with the Saints, their quarterback's banged up. I know Tampa's banged up, too. But you look at the head coach. They don't have the head coach anymore. Sean Payton's gone. They got a new coach. So I'm going with Tampa on this one.
I like the Bucs.
I like the Bucs. I like the Bucs.
The division still runs through them. Bart looks skeptical.
He does.
How do you look?
I got the Saints. I think the Saints defensively matches up perfectly with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't even think, just from an identity standpoint, I don't think the Bucs, they're not even the same team that they were last year. You go from, you know, what is it, no risky, no biscuit with Bruce Arians. Now with Todd Bowles, not going to be having the offense slinging the ball over the field. He wants to play a more traditional type of game, run. Is that
good or bad?
I think initially it's probably bad because the offensive line is still trying to find its way. I don't know if they'll be able to run the ball like that against this New Orleans Saints defense. Right. So, well, I'm giving the edge to the Saints.
Well, you got the entire interior of Tom's offensive line we were talking about. Now both tackles are on the injury report. The Saints rushed the heck out of him anyway. Is Brady in trouble on Sunday?
I mean, he's in trouble, but Todd Bowles is going with the right plan, right? Because if you look at what happened to the Saints last week, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson ran the ball up and down their throat, and they had to really get hold of the game late in the season. But, you know, the same thing, Nico, that you said about, you know, the Saints, I can say about the Bucs because Todd Bowles is a new coach as well. He's the guy who was on staff. You know, here's the issue, right? They have bad matchups. And what we don't really talk about is how dominant Lattimore has always been traditionally against Mike Evans. So now when you don't have Chris Godwin, that allows you to be able to really, you know, add another man to the box to make them one-dimensional.
Are they going to beat Tom Brady up? He was talking about all the lumps and bumps and bruises on his podcast after week one. What's he going to look like after week two?
Well, he's going to be in the wax like Triple X. You know what I mean? Because he's going to be all beat up. And the problem is a lot of these guys are sore a lot more because they don't hit in training camp. So this is the first time that they've been knocked to the ground. So now they're oversensitive. You know, it's going to take about 3 or 4 weeks for everybody to get used to the physicality. Just like you got to get your pads set, you also got to get your body set for taking a beating for 17
weeks. Brady going to get beat up this week?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to get knocked around a little bit. He's 45 years old. You can push a 45-year-old, they just fall right over. So, yeah, of course, I think he's going to get beat up. But he's Tom Brady. He deals with it. He knows how to recover. He's got the pliability. He's got TB12. He's got all that stuff. So, again, it's just hard for me to look at the track record. I know the Saints have won a lot, but you can't just say they're just going to keep beating Tom. I'm just going with percentage.
Well, Tom just keeps beating everybody else.
That's
so why can't
saying.
It happen
so
to him?
He's going to figure it out.
Look at the number at the bottom of your screen. Our analytics give the Buccaneers a 70% chance to win this game on the road. With that injury report, that would be quite a statement for Brady's Bucs to win this game on the road against their primary rival in the division this early on. We'll see Sunday. In the meantime, we're going to Dallas next. The Cowboys' star has fallen with Dak's injury. But is it as bad as everyone is saying? I'll tell you why I predict some disagreement here. I think the Cowboys are going to be fine. I'm going to say that and duck. Then, Russell Wilson reflecting on the Monday night disaster for his Broncos. What he said is raising more questions about the final play in Seattle. You'll hear it next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back on Get Up, and let's run the hurry up on a busy day in the National Football League. Diana Russini, what's going on with George Kittle?
Oh, man, the 49ers have no answers right now for whether or not George Kittle is going to play. The tight end hurt his groin on September 5th. We know he was inactive on Sunday, and so we're just going to have to see if he'll be out there. He hasn't practiced, though, Mike, which tells you a lot, although, you know, he is a veteran player at this time, so we will see. Meantime, the Baltimore Ravens, they face the Miami Dolphins at home, and we saw J.K. Dobbins was inactive against the New York Jets. And Mike, I talked to J.K. right before the game during the pregame warm-up, and he's like, if I was active, I could go for 100 yards. I was like, okay, relax, relax. But he's like, no, really, I feel that good. But the team just wants to be really reserved right now because we saw what happened with that running group last year. Injuries just demolish them, so they're going to be conservative, but he should be able to go this Sunday. In the meantime, Dak Prescott, we may have to just be a little bit patient here as he recovers from this surgery that he received on Monday. I was told all went well. Obviously, we know that they decided as an organization not to place him on IR, and head coach Mike McCarthy is not allowing Dak to even come to practice. He doesn't want to take any risks, any chances. Dak is at the facility rehabbing that hand as he begins that recovery process. And of course, they're trying to eye 6-7, week 8 even. And, you know, Jerry has confidence that his starting quarterback will return hopefully by then.
Well, look, I mean, if it's week 8, then not putting him in IR is going to wind up having been an enormous mistake. Let's hear from the coach. You just touched on it. Here's Mike McCarthy yesterday talking about losing his quarterback.
It's very disappointing to lose your starting quarterback. It's extremely disappointing to lose Dak. But the reality is, you know, we need to go beat Cincinnati, and Cooper has the reins.
All right, so let's just remind everyone of who it is that we're talking about. When last seen, Cooper Rush started for an injured Dak Prescott last Halloween against the Vikings, and he played well. He threw 2 touchdown passes. Now, both of them were to players who aren't on the Cowboys anymore, Cedric Wilson, and then the game winner late in the fourth to Amari Cooper. Cowboys won 20-16. So, look, I'm not sitting here telling you that everything is going to be just fine, but maybe all hope is not lost. Okay, let's take a nice tight shot on Damian Woody. I'm going to let you be the ultimate arbiter. I've asked this question all week. Are the Cowboys doomed without Dak Prescott? How are they going to be now without Dak D. Wood? Oh, oh, that hurts. That hurts.
Yeah, man, listen. You already mentioned it. Cooper Rush, who comes in, threw 2 touchdown passes in the game he started against the Minnesota Vikings to guys that are no longer on the team.
Right.
Combine that with the fact that no Tyron Smith. Hell, where the hell is Zeke at?
Okay, we had the owner, Jerry Jones, you know, been talking all offseason about Zeke Elliott.
Yeah.
Zeke Elliott, you know, yeah, we got Dak Prescott, but, it, you know, everything still run through Zeke. He's on the back of a milk carton. Please, can someone please find Zeke Elliott, because I need to see, like, we talk about Zeke eating and stuff. Yeah. I need to see Zeke eat.
This is a week to feed Zeke. Feed Zeke. They're playing Cincinnati. It's a tough game. The world is writing them off. This is the moment if Zeke Elliott is ever going to have another one.
Zeke has acid reflux. You can feed him all you want. It's coming right back up, man. Like, what are we talking about, man? Like, listen, I, with Dak Prescott, I had them losing. Right, I had Mike McCarthy getting fired week 8 and Dan Quinn as the eventual head coach. I mean, you talk about the tough sledding for the first 6 games. It looks like the Giants won't be an easy out. You know, the Bengals are coming off an upsetting loss to their division rivals. Joe Burrow and that team almost came back and won after having 5 turnovers. They're going to get it fixed. Listen, they're in trouble. And I tell you what, Jerry World is Jerry Scary. He had a playoff mandate. You can go ahead and cancel Christmas.
Well, how about it? Let me make my case. Let me make my case that everything is going to be okay. All right, we're sitting here. Oh, well, no Amari Cooper. All we did was complain about Amari Cooper when he was there in the first place. The Buccaneers are going to make a lot of teams look bad. That's the offense they played against in week 1. Losing Dak is rough. But if you look at their schedule, the first 6-7 weeks of the season, I see an opportunity. Maybe it isn't this Sunday. To steal 2-3 wins somewhere in there. Keep their season afloat. Then Dak comes back and saves the day. What do you think, Ninko?
I think Cooper Rush is in for a long day, considering Dak broke his thumb. He got hit once, not twice, in the hand at the same. Because why? Because they had terrible blocking. And the pass rush got to him and hit him in the hand. So guess what? The backup is going to come in. The timing is going to be a little bit off. The offensive line is going to be similar to what they were. And the backup quarterback is going to get crushed too. So
how about
again,
Zeke? You mean Zeke? How about Zeke? D-Wood, Zeke.
Wait a minute. First of all, can I check the prescription on your glasses? Because I'm trying to see what you see in here. Okay? Because I'm just not. Listen, Dak was it when Dak was in there, they didn't do squat. Think about that. They didn't squat against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, all of a sudden, Dak is out, and I'm supposed to believe that all of a sudden Cooper Rush and his offense is going to come alive? Like,
you got the Eagles. You got the defending champs. And you got the Super Bowl representation for the AFC. Like, Nick, like, just keep it real, man. See, you be too for that. Tell them what it is, man. This is a Pro Bowl game for you. Everybody over there playing rock, paper, scissors, they want to get to the right size so they can get their Pro Bowl stats up. When you eat.
The Cowboys are going to be bad. They're going to be really bad. And when you see what you're going against and you see a backup quarterback and you see Robert the turnstile, you see a turnstile at tackle.
Yeah.
Hey, sacks, you're trying to get your stats up. You're trying to get paid. So, again, I look at the Cowboys right now. And if you're Jerry Jones, you got to be sick. You got to be sick because you had an opportunity. Number one, you overpaid the running back. Everyone says, don't pay the running back that much. Don't do it. Nobody does it. He did it. Didn't work out. So, again, you look at the way that the roster is built. You go and you pay Dak. And really, what else did they do? They didn't address the offensive line. They didn't address the receiving core.
You know,
all the places that you need to have. And in 2022,
here's the thing about the
they
Cowboys.
Gotta be good at,
here's
in all
the thing
areas.
About the Cowboys. We overrate how good they are when they're good. Now we're overrating how bad they are when they're bad. This is not one of the 3 or 4 worst teams in the National. Put the schedule back up there, the first couple of games. I get it. Maybe they lose this Sunday to Cincinnati. That's a really good team. There they are. You're telling me they can't
beat
the Giants?
Have you seen Saquon? No.
The Commanders, the Lions? You're telling me they can't win those games?
Have you seen the Lions?
I've seen the Lions. They lose every single week. I know they're close every week, but they always find a way to lose. You're telling me they can't win 2 or 3 of those games and still be in the thick of things when Dak comes back healthy?
No, not at all, Green. Listen, I had them 2-4. They're going to be behind the 8-ball, and the Eagles are the cream of this division. You know, and they're not getting in a wild card. So if you don't win the division, you have no shot. Like Cooper, I'm telling you, Cooper Rush. We would be.
You get it, Cooper paper, Rush. You go get him, Cooper.
Yeah, use his motivation.
To show everybody. And by the way, one other thing. By the way, D-Wood, I didn't appreciate that. I have acid reflux. I'm telling you right now, if you had acid reflux, you wouldn't be laughing. It's no fun.
I'm sure he's had acid reflux.
Oh, I've had it.
Okay. Speaking of making you sick to your stomach, the way the Denver game ended on Monday night, one of the most perplexing finishes of the entire year involved the Broncos' clock management. Nathaniel Hackett letting all the time tick off, and then kicking a 64-yard field goal. Russell Wilson was asked about it yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
I was at the line of scrimmage ready to go for it, too. You know, I was calling a play, and we were ready to go. But, you know, that's what we decided, and we went with it, you know. And we missed by don't know, yard, maybe. Maybe half a yard, so it was close.
Uh-oh. So Russell always says the right thing, to his everlasting credit, in my opinion. Diana's calling a timeout. Peyton Manning was calling a timeout. D. Wood, down deep inside, is Russell furious?
Russell's too nice.
He is.
What should he say?
He's very nice.
I can't even. This is the Disney Channel. I can't even say it right now. You're the Denver Broncos. You traded, traded for me. Gave up assets. Paid me $250 million. And you're gonna tell me, oh, we're gonna let a kicker kick a 64-yard field goal instead of putting the ball in my hands at the quarterback position? That's disrespectful. Nico, that's disrespectful. That is. To have a kicker kicking a 64, that's the best you can do?
Yeah.
Denver Broncos, to have your kicker kick a 64-yard field goal in that situation? Come on, man. Like I said, Russell's too nice.
That situation, you can go through every single thing in practice and that situation comes up and you mess it up that bad? Everyone's sitting at home. What are you doing? Whoa. 40 seconds? Tick, tick. If Russell should have said, timeout, we're going to talk this over.
Yeah.
Timeout, we're going to talk this over. I mean, you look at Peyton Manning, the first thing he says, take a timeout. All right, you got time, take a timeout. No, they don't do that. So the head coach, I think he looks foolish in this situation. He looks like he doesn't know the situation. And
he's ill-prepared.
What do we see from coaches that are the gurus, that are the offensive gurus, when they're in those moments, the heat of the moment, when the game is on the line, they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do.
Remember 2 years ago in the NFC Championship game when Aaron Rodgers, they kicked the field goal and they never got the ball back?
Should have went for it.
You know who was on the coaching staff of that Green Bay Packers team? Nathaniel Hackett. So he, of all people, should absolutely have remembered
so
that.
Bad.
Diana, as you talked to people around the league this week about the way that game ended, what did you hear?
Yeah, before I begin, I have no relation to Nathaniel Hackett. Because I'm going to get scorched here, Damian. I get the fists up. Be ready here. All right, so after a big decision like that, I love getting just feedback from players and coaches around the league and just getting a feel, like, you watched the game, what do you think? I didn't talk to anyone on the Broncos, but I did talk to other people. And there was an argument made by a lot of people that, look, you weigh the probability of the situation and you go to the numbers, and usually what happens here, people that are obsessed with the numbers will make an argument. If they went for it, they'll say they should have kicked. If they made it, then they said that's what the numbers say. Whenever it just doesn't work out, the situation doesn't work out, is when everyone reacts like this. And he fell on the sword. I think we could all agree he would do it over again. But they made that decision and they stuck with it. So we're all losing our minds on it. But there are others in the league that do this all the time and are a lot smarter than me that believe that, look, they could see what happened. Bark go. But
let's go to the Geek Squad then if we want to be about the analytics. The analytics is they had a 53% chance to win the game or to convert 4th and 5.
Right.
They had a 4% chance to kick a 64-yard field goal. So that's the analytics there. Secondly, if you don't know history, it's doomed to repeat itself.
Right.
And the history in the narrative around Russell Wilson is that he alienates himself from his teammates. So I had Chad Brown on yesterday on my show, and he told me that Russell Wilson has his own office in the building, right? That he also has, like, his own nutrition's quarterback coach. That is a bad environment, bad recipe for being able to try and ingratiate yourself with your teammates. And then you talk about, you know, if you don't know your history. Last year, the Green Bay Packers came out and got the brakes beat off of them. Do you know that in training camp, the Denver Broncos did not have one live drill? So then when you don't have one live drill and people don't play in preseason, what do you think a running back's going to do with a fumbling history? He's going to fumble. So this goes back on Nathaniel Hackett, the fact that he is ill-prepared and don't know how to be able to lead his team. He's early in this process. It can be turned around, but these things are disturbing to me.
Go for it or kick the field. He still wasted so much time.
He left everything on that kick.
After the fact, he called 3 timeouts with like 10 seconds. Yeah. It's like, yo, that's it.
In the entire history of professional football, which is like 103 years, there have been like 3 kicks of that length made in the entire history of the sport. The numbers definitely do not support what Nathaniel Hackett did. Meanwhile, as we continue, Diana got the story, and she may be the last one ever to get the story. Lamar says he's done talking, But he had a lot to say to Diana on Sunday, and you need to hear what it was, because it could wind up being very important. That's next. Get Up on ESPN.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Call the non-believers.
How did that
call the non-believers?
I can't wait till the day I make it. I can't wait.
We're a good football team. They can't stop a nosebleed.
Congratulations. See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
All right, they are the words that made him a legend. Bartholomew Scott will take us through the three things he can't wait to see in week two, which starts tonight. What can't you wait to see, Chargers Chiefs?
I tell you what, I can't wait for the class of the Titan. You talk about Patrick Mahomes, the baddest man on the planet, against Khalil Mack, who seems to have found his stride opposite of Joey Bosa. This is going to be a key matchup, especially when it comes down to the tiebreakers at the end of the season. Maybe the two best teams within the division. Somebody's going to be happy tonight. Somebody else is going home sick.
Mack had three sacks last week. Patrick threw five touchdowns. Patriots, Steelers, what can't you wait to see in that game?
Man, I tell you what, listen, you talk about two, you know, historical coaches, two guys that have played and coached at a high level, Super Bowl pedigree. I'm excited. I want to see if string cheese, I can't call him mac cheese, no mac and cheese anymore because he's kind of thinned up. I want to see if the Patriots, if this can potentially be the beginning of the end, you know, to their season. You know, it's a pivotal within their division. I don't have them making the playoffs. They didn't look good in South Beach. They went there early. It didn't work out. But the Pittsburgh Steelers have really been a pleasant surprise. Let's see if they can make, you know, the Patriots 0-2 for the first time in a long time.
And then those Dolphins play in Baltimore. What can't we wait to see there?
Oh, man, you talk about, you know, a battle of the AFC. You talk about two teams that should, you know, play a big role in how this thing all plans out. You talk about two and Lamar Jackson. You know, Lamar Action Jackson turned down the extension, but he also liked to tweet to be the quarterback. If Tua, you know, falls flat on his face, Lamar Jackson doesn't get a contract, you talk about those first-round draft picks. How many first-round draft picks would you give up to put Action Jackson in South Beach? I can't wait to see how this one turns out. Saragusa is being honored, and also the late Jalen Ferguson.
Okay, so obviously great moments, special there. But going back to the quarterback situation, there is reason to be paying close attention to this. You know that Lamar Jackson and the Ravens did not get a new deal done this offseason. They said the negotiations have stopped now that the season has begun. But that doesn't mean the questions have stopped. Lamar was asked about it yesterday. Here's what he said.
You know, respectfully, I'm really done talking about it. You know, I told you guys before, you know, I was going to be done with it. You know, week one's over with. We're done talking about it, you know. I'm focused on the Dolphins now.
Are you able to explain why the guaranteed money was so important to you?
Like I said, you know, I'm done talking about that, respectfully, you know. Dolphin time, man.
Okay, so he says he's not talking about it anymore, which means, Diana, the last interview he ever gives on this subject was with you Sunday, because you had the game. You asked him a bunch of questions. He said some very interesting things to you. For those who haven't heard, recap that for us.
Yeah, let's just start with our colleagues Adam Schefter and Chris Martinson reporting that bombshell, which was the offer that Baltimore made to Lamar Jackson on Sunday morning, which was a $133 million guaranteed at signing deal. The offer was about $250, give or take a little bit here and there, over the 5-6 years. And Lamar Jackson obviously turned that down. We were all aware of that. So after the game, after a nice victory against the New York Jets, where he played real well, I just asked him about the situation. And he said, yeah, I did turn that down. Now, he did add that there was some more guarantees in there that weren't even reported. And he even turns that down. I did ask him, look, I knew Baltimore never offered that $250 million guaranteed money that we see the Cleveland Browns had offered to Deshaun Watson. I did ask, though, if he turned that down, even though Baltimore didn't offer it. And he said, no, but kind of gave me the look, Mike, like, If they did, I would have signed that thing. That being said, he was really transparent. And he's like, look, I'm just waiting for the right offer. And when I asked him if he was going to play the rest of the season without a contract in place, without an extension for next year, is he willing to do that? He told me, we'll just have to see. We'll see about that. Which, you know, may sound very basic, but that was big to me because we just all assume if he played week one, he's playing all year long without a deal. But we're just going to have to see now, Mike.
What does "we're just going to have to see," Bart, mean when you've got the season underway?
Yeah.
We wondered like crazy, would he play without the extension? I'm okay. With Diana. I assumed if he played week one, that meant he's going to play. What does "we're going to have to see" mean?
If they agree to my terms, then I'll sign on a dotted line. See, here's the little thing that people don't realize.
No, we're going to have to see if he's going to play the whole season without the contract.
I don't think Lamar, his pedigree, he's too much of a competitor. He loves that organization. He's still getting his money. I think he probably went to Lord of London's, pulled out an insurance policy on himself.
Right.
But this is the thing, right? We talk about today. We're going to celebrate today the first day of, Amazon taking on games. And what people don't realize, that's $11 billion over 11 years. What is that going to do to the salary cap next year, right? It's going to raise it up. So Lamar's playing the long game. He understands that, listen, yesterday's price is not today's price. So it's going up. So he understands Lamar Jackson's made more money by not signing a contract than any other player. And you talk about, okay, $290,000. And this is what teams do, right? They throw out the totals and so try and embarrass players so we can look greedy. But $290 million, you talk about a seven-year extension, that's $41 million a year. That's under market. So Lamar Jackson is making sure that he's doing what Russell Wilson didn't do. He's making sure that the guy after him gets paid more money. See, that's what this was going on. And Lamar Jackson, to me, I think is playing it, you know, beautifully, right? Get your money. Because guess what? Next year, if they franchise tag me, it's going to go up. Burrow and Herbert's going to get paid, and it's going to continue to go up. And the salary cap is going to be influenced by Amazon.
So does that suggest that everything is or isn't just fine between Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens? Not just for this year, but you were just talking about whether or not the Dolphins might trade for him next year. Is everything going to be just fine on into the future for Lamar and the Ravens?
I think Lamar is just like, listen, I'm just want to concentrate on football. Because the better I do on the field, my price is just going to keep going up. And, like, when I think about the Baltimore Ravens, think about it. Their whole team is built around Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Everything they do is built around one guy. And just the thought of Lamar Jackson walking out of the door out of Baltimore, like, that would be just devastating for that organization. I'm still in shock that a deal didn't get done this offseason, considering the importance of Lamar Jackson.
To be clear, he can't walk out the door because they can franchise
him
and all
that
kind of stuff. But they could, in theory, they could wind up trading to some team that has two first-round picks, whatever the case. That's what you were talking about.
He'll be worth five first-round
picks. That's what I mean. It's incalculable. You can't come up with what his price would be in a trade. It's incalculable.
I think right now, mentally, he's in a great state. I think he's focused on football. He's confident. He's out there playing ball at a high level.
Yeah.
I think what would be hard for him to digest is, say he goes out there, plays amazing, but these teams have control over the player with, you know, all doing the franchise tag. Next year, they're now trading. So if they start playing with you, if he goes out there and balls out and deserves to get paid like the top five quarterback, they should do it. Because if I was him, I'd be getting mad after this. I'd be mad after this season. If he doesn't get paid, I'd be frustrated and mad.
I've been in that organization for 7 years. They're not going to set a precedent, because if they set a precedent, and forget what Cleveland did. If they do it, then that means Cleveland has to do it. And that means that the Chargers have to do it. So they don't want to set a precedent. Then you have the player that's trying to make sure that he's doing what he's supposed to do for the next people.
I will have to come back to this. Diane, I'll get back to I'm up against the end of the hour. We're coming back to this, I promise. In the meantime, we have much more to do as we continue, including that guy. He seems aggravated, too. Is he planning to make any changes, and does he need to? By one member of our crew says this team's in trouble. You'll hear why next. Get Up on ESPN.